Sports Radio.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Festivai, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line's open line today. Call 66 13 68, text or WhatsApp on 166 177, email studio at manxradio.com. So what's on your mind today? The body examining Ørsted's application to build an offshore wind farm 6 miles from the Manx coastline will be hearing more evidence next week. A series of hearings to examine specific issues relating to the Moore Vanin proposals, including shipping, the environment and visual impact, gets underway Monday the 11th at the Comus Golf Club. It is, I understand, it's invitation only. If you want to go to manxradio.com, you can register via mima.gov.im, and I understand it is invitation only, so you have to register to attend. You can't just pitch up there. So it's mima.gov.im. And the Chamber of Commerce is saying that growth has to be at the heart of this year's general election. They basically want politicians who understand growth, economic growth, that is. It's launching a new campaign calling for candidates to set out what they're going to do to restore growth, and it wants voters to demand answers. So I just wonder whether that's something you'll be asking of the candidates when they come knocking on your door, i.e. what can you do? I think they're saying that we need to be, the candidates need to be looking outside, looking out, rather than concentrating on domestic issues, because obviously domestic issues need to be financed. And have you spotted any basking sharks lately? Any thoughts on that? Have you spotted basking sharks? Lots of messages regarding the wind farms and anything else as well, regarding the revenue that might be the wind farm might bring to us. And you just wonder what the thoughts are. Oh, the other thing is, I have to say, did you hear over the weekend, Dr. Allinson isn't standing. Alex Allinson, MHK, will no longer be an MHK. He's chipping out. So when the House dissolves, when the keys are dissolved on Thursday, August the 13th, that will be it. No longer. No longer Alex Allinson, MHK. The Ramsey MHK will not be standing in September. Any thoughts on that? Of course, he's been a minister, high-profile minister, and also was the driving force behind the assisted dying bill, which as yet isn't where particularly he wants it to be. So anyway, these plans for the offshore wind farm have attracted lots of criticism. Campaigners against the turbines recently accused Ørsted of bullying tactics. Now, I wonder what you think about this. If you have any thoughts, then do get in touch. Obviously, we've talked about this many times before. Ørsted is a commercial company. Ørsted is a company that puts up wind turbines. It's how they make their money. So they will always be lobbying to do that. That's what they do. They're not going to see things from the opposition's point of view. It's not what they do. So, you know, I think any train of thought needs to start there. That's what Ørsted are there for. Multi-billion euro company. Based in Denmark, of course. But they put wind farms up here, there and everywhere. They know what they're doing. And obviously they have the Isle of Man in their sights. They've spotted an opportunity and are obviously going for it. Howard's with us first today. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. It's just a little bit of information that might be useful to your listeners and people of the island. The latter end of last week, I received, mail post, and it was to the occupier, but had my address on. And it was from an insurance company working in hand in hand with the claims company for if you had a loan to buy a car.
Right.
There's a lot of money sitting out there waiting to be claimed. But anybody that gets these, just read them very carefully, because I didn't read it all, but when you go down through the small print on the back, before you even get anywhere near putting a claim in as such, they'll be charging you £25 an hour to reach it. So that could run up to a serious bill in a very short period of time. So if you do get it, if it's in a brown envelope, and it's about 4 or 5 pages, and there are two separate companies. One is the claims people, and the other is the insurance company that they use, but they're both linked. So if anybody gets that, I'm not saying don't go down that road, that's entirely up to yourself, but be ultra careful when and have a read of the paper that comes with it.
So presumably they've sent these to everybody. They've not just targeted people like you out, have they?
Well, they might have targeted an area, because they had our address on, postcode and everything. So they've obviously done a bit of research to what's available on the Isle of Man. But it's a legal company in the UK, and they'd be acting on your behalf.
Right.
But it's only a warning for people who see these and think, oh, yes, I did get a car.
Does it mention any specific garage at all, Howard, or any specific make of vehicle?
No. The first page that you get, it covers a multitude of car manufacturers.
Right.
Right across the board. And I binned it. I tore it up this morning and put it in the bin. But I won't be going down that road for certain.
Yeah.
But it's just to the listeners on the island. And I was always under the impression that UK lawyers cannot operate on the Isle of Man. They have to be.
I'm just thinking, it depends where the loan in the end is taken out. There may have been a broker on the island, but it just depends where the finance sits. And you're quite right. No win, no fee doesn't apply on the Isle of Man. I think that's illegal, no win, no fee. So quite how they're going to work that out. I know I saw some stuff online. There was an advert online saying if you'd bought a Land Rover or a Range Rover to get in touch with these people. And I thought that was just, I mean, I can't see how that's going to work on the Isle of Man.
No. Well, I can't either. And it's just when I saw the headlines there in one of the papers that I was going to get in the newspaper, people lost small fortunes on various, things that were on the island. And I just want to warn people that's out there that might receive these. If you want to go down that road, if you want to take the chance, it's entirely up to yourself. Yeah. But just be very careful.
And £25 an hour, Howard.
Yep. And that's only for the research to see if you are capable of receiving any compensation. And they'll get their fingers into that afterwards. But £25 an hour was mentioned in the...
And what's the company called again, Howard?
I can't remember. I'd have to have a look at home. It's in the bin, but I tore it up. ML something.
Right.
And it's claim one or something.
Okay. All right.
It's been sitting on the kitchen worktop all weekend.
Now it's been filed.
I just binned it this month.
Yes.
It's been filed permanently.
Okay.
But it's just information for your listeners.
All right. Good to hear from you, Howard.
Okay.
Thanks for alerting us. All right. Take care.
Bye now.
Bye now. 14 minutes past 12. Have you had one of these letters then about claiming back whether a car finance was missold? And if anybody's in the business, how's that going to work on the Isle of Man? And where, particularly at £25 an hour, if you've had one of those letters, as I say, maybe you saw the same advert I did across the weekend. Somebody's obviously bought some advertising online, and it keeps popping up as to if you bought a Range Rover or a Land Rover, then do get in touch. Because obviously the big thing at the moment in Britain for claims is the mis-selling of vehicle finance. Anyway, if you can tell us, by all means, do get in touch. And if you've had one of these letters, or if you've got one, take a photo and WhatsApp it to us, because we'd like to find out more about this. Right, Andrew's with us now. Hi, Andrew.
Hi there, Andy. Good day to you. Please, I just thought I'd come on as a small update to my call last week with Alex regarding a really bad accident at the NSC involving one of the island's youngsters, and how he wasn't able to be dealt with at Nobles.
Right.
And over the weekend, for those people who do use social media, there's a Facebook called Manx Voices Informed Choices that has also, from some other party, some information about it. And I just wanted to also, from the connected party that I know, he also gave an update that it was like about 48 hours after the incident that the youngster was seen in hospital in Liverpool after having been refused air med evacuation and was put on the boat. And apparently he's not now going to have full use of his hand again, because across they couldn't save the tendons, and I'm told here it hadn't been cleaned properly and there was an infection. So he's going to be back on the island this week, but then has to go back again in 11 weeks to Liverpool to try an operation, get another operation, right, and a skin graft. And this is all because we're told it's a management decision at Nobles not to incur the cost of an evacuation, when he could have been. You've been running a story from the Great North Air Ambulance where they said they mobilise within about 6 minutes and it takes them 35 minutes to get here. And yet this youngster was put on a boat to get to Liverpool and now effectively could have life-changing injury. And it's all wrong. That's totally wrong, dealing with a youngster who could have that situation. And hopefully the CEO of Manx Care is holding her head in shame now. And how she can defend that, I really have no idea. And that's all I want to say about it.
Well, just briefly, what condition, what's the boy's condition? How is he in himself?
I don't know how he is in himself. I'd have to ask some questions to find that out.
Right, okay.
But I mean, it's just, here's a situation where somebody, from what I've read, the report I've been given, it's effectively a life-changing injury. And, you know, Nobles must have, well, apparently at the hospital, people were actually Manx Care refused to get the child to a specialist tertiary facility in the UK by air. The surgeons and patient transfer were fighting, inverted commas, in Nobles in front of the parents as they said he needed airlifted and management refused to cover the cost. Theresa Cope, hold your head in shame, basically.
Okay, all right. Andrew, we appreciate your call.
Should you even be in that job? Thanks so much, Andy.
Good to hear from you. Thanks for being with us today. Orsted have seen how much money the government spent on a ferry terminal, and they rubbed their hands and said, we'll have some of that, so I don't expect to get any money from them, says Desmond. Well, they'd probably dispute that, and remember, they're in the planning stage at the moment. It's all being discussed at the moment. But if you want to, why is there no response against the wind turbines onshore and offshore from the Manx Wildlife Trust, says David. A message also in from Jeffrey. If it's so good, why can it... Sorry, Jeffrey, all your words are merging into one there. If you want to get back in touch, by all means do. Again, if you want to get in touch, well, let's look at the wind farms. I've got a question regarding caravans as well. And But let's look at the wind farm thing first. The plans have attracted some criticism. Campaigners against the turbines recently accusing the company behind the application of bullying tactics. Ørsted's project director for Moore Vannin is the 87 odd wind turbines they want to put there. The project director is Jamie Baldwin. Benj Sykes is the vice president, UK country manager and head of environment, consenting and external affairs. I'd love to see his business card. Anyway, Jamie and Benj have been speaking to Phil Gorn about it all.
I'm sorry people feel that they haven't had the chance. We've tried really hard and, you know, I accept the criticism. Some people may feel that's not been enough, but we have worked really hard to make sure that we're talking to communities right around the island, obviously particularly focusing on those who will have sight of it. But everyone needs to be involved in that. We have tried our very best to make sure people have had an opportunity to come and talk to us. I would hope that people who still wish to bring up points will do so through the examination process. That's absolutely there for them to use.
We've reached out and we've tried to go and provide facts and context to our proposals. We're not expecting people necessarily to agree with what we put forward, and that's part of the discussion and debate that we're seeing. But I do think we have engaged quite widely up to date. Obviously, people don't always, they might be away, they might be off island, and that's difficult, obviously, to catch absolutely everybody. There is a requirement, I guess, for people to be interested in it. So I do recognise that perhaps back in 24, there wasn't as much interest in the proposals. There clearly is now, and we continue to work with stakeholders as we go through the process. Now we're in a more formal process, that is through the examination forum, which is a 6-month, independent, open, evidence-based process where members of the public, as well as organisations with an interest in the proposals, are invited and encouraged to air those concerns, to write, ask questions of the examiners, ask questions of us, and to provide evidence to support their views.
We heard in the programme with GAF commissioners and the two other objectors that they felt bullied by Ørsted. Is that something you recognise?
I do think that's a little unfair, and obviously we provided a statement around that. I think, to be fair to Marinda, who I did listen to the Perspective programme a few weeks ago, it was more bullying tactics, and I think that came from her view that in the hearing sessions there were quite a few of the Ørsted team there, and the reason we were there was because essentially we're the ones being examined, rightly so, and we need people who know all aspects of a project. This is a big project. We don't just have one single person who knows everything. It's a team. So I do think it's to accuse us of bullying is wrong, but I do also accept, I'm not sure that was the exact intention. It was more that it felt uncomfortable that there was quite a few of us trying to answer the questions, and maybe that felt a bit overwhelming.
Well, you can register for these sessions at MIMA.gov.im, the Marine Infrastructure page. Next Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, there are sessions at the Comus Golf Club. So you can get 9 holes in while you're there. That's a joke, by the way. Specific hearing number 4 is on Monday. Shipping, navigation and other effects at sea. 10 o'clock, that is, 10 in the morning. 2 p.m. There's the public meeting on the 11th. On Tuesday, specific issue hearing number 5, landscape and visual impact, 10 a.m. On Wednesday the 13th, specific issue hearing 6, environmental assessment at 10 a.m. at the Gomez. And Thursday the 14th, specific issue hearing number 7, the marine infrastructure consent at 10 a.m. As I say, you have to register to go there, mima@gov.im, or you can go via maxradio.com. A note in from Kyle, who said, yeah, that's interesting. We've not heard anything from the nature people about the impact this is going to make. And also, we've heard nothing from the astronomers. Our dark skies are lauded to the high heavens, pardon the pun, by the astronomical people. What do they think of 87 winking red lights at night off the east coast of the Isle of Man, 6 miles away? Says Kyle, it'll be like living in a factory. Well, that's your opinion, Kyle. And obviously, that's we'll take that as your opinion. But they say it's going to make us a fortune. Now, whether it's a small fortune or a big fortune or numbers we can't even dream about, we don't really know. And that's part of it. We don't really know, do we? We're being asked to take a lot of this on trust. You could try listening to Orsted on Manx Radio and a lack of confirmation benefit. Thank you to 622. Thank you, 622. I'm sorry if you write rude words, you're never going to get read out. So I wouldn't try that again. And we went to see our granddaughter sing at the Gill last Saturday, says Mary. I was disappointed at how few spectators were present. I think it's because they charge £6 a ticket. Surely a school event should be free of charge, says Mary. Thank you, Mary. Well, that's a moot point often, Mary. The trouble is, if you make something free, you can often get people just turn up, and often people who weren't going to come in the first place. So do you charge or do you make it free? Anyway, it all seemed to go very well. And if you've been listening or were listening last week to Today at the Gill with Judith and an associated team, lots of videos up about that and a fantastic time they did at the Guildhall last week. Here's Geoffrey with us now. Hi, Geoffrey.
Yeah, sorry about the text, Andy. I was rushing it through, by the way. I wanted to ask, we're having elections on September. So therefore, if most of the MHKs are replaced, does the government still continue going down this road? If the MHKs, most of them decide that they don't want to go down this road, A, because of the cost, yes, and people, the majority of people at the moment I've been speaking to, don't like it. They think it's a blip on the island. There's no need for it. So does the MHKs, if they decide, yes, we're not going to go down this road anymore and we're going to cancel it, does the government, whoever's in charge, overrule that? Because why I'm saying this, Stupa, I call him sadly, the MHK Stewart, he said that it should go on the voting papers and the government have gone against it. So that tells me something, that whatever we say or do and what Ofsted tell us in these meetings, it's not going to make any difference. They're going to go ahead with it. Well, I wanted to know, is this going to be a genuine, honest walk to get the job done either way, or is the government just going to stamp on the people of the island and say, we're not listening to you, we're going ahead because of climate change?
Well, there are two sides to this. There are the elected representatives, and then, of course, there are the bureaucrats. There's the civil service. Now, the process is in train. The process is happening at the moment, and it's at the planning and the consultation thing at the moment. So nothing is certain at the moment. However, this is part of the long-term plan, Geoffrey. This is part of getting us to net zero, is to get clean energy on the Isle of Man. So it is part of the overall plan.
So the bottom line is, no matter what we say or do then, this is going to go ahead.
Well, as you say, the offer to make a referendum for this was turned down because I think the politicians said, well, you can elect politicians. Now, and it's a very good point, quite where we are, if we suddenly get a lot of politicians voted in September who are dead against it, then presumably they'll be rallying against it. But then again, Geoffrey, we may get lots of politicians voted in who are really for it.
Of course. But the problem to me is that we're sticking on the island. We're not listening to what's going on elsewhere. I heard a lot of the voices saying they've got it in Sweden and gotten in this, but a lot of it is now coming back to them abroad with these wind farms. A lot of them coming back to them now. They're causing lots of problems, but we're not being told that. This is my argument. Ofsted, as like you said earlier, are pushing it because they know the big boys, big money, they're going to get their share. Are we going to get, after the first month, is our bills going to drop when these damn things are 60 feet up in the air? I mean, are the bills going to drop, Andy? Of course they're not going to drop. We'll be paying more because wherever we borrow the money from, that has to be paid back. And we all know what happens when we borrow lots of money. We're still paying it 15 years later from certain companies. I'm concerned that the grandchildren who think it's going to be a good idea, they're going to be lumbered with this sort of bill. That's my opinion on this.
Okay.
And a lot of people are looking past what they're talking about. They're not telling us what we're going to get per unit. They're just saying this is going to help climate change. Well, somebody needs to step off the island and have a look what's going on in the rest of the world.
Okay. All right, Geoffrey.
That's my opinion.
We appreciate it. And thanks for calling today. It's 12:30 on Max Radio. And Sue on 622 said, Andy, listening to Orsted, there seems to be a lack of clear confirmation about the benefits. It feels unconvincing and at times insulting to the Isle of Man and its people. There's concern about the minimal benefits to the island and the impact on our environment, the marine life, birds, fishing. It's very worrying and upsetting to hear. If something like this were ever to go ahead, then the electricity should benefit the island directly, with the Isle of Man able to sell it at a commercial rate. If that's not an option, it raises serious questions about the value of the proposals. That's 622. Andrea on 538 said, regarding the air ambulance, Manx Care also has a fixed-wing air ambulance. They secured a new five-year contract for the Isle of Man UK Emergency Air Bridge. Why wasn't that utilised for the young person last week? Well, any thoughts on that or anything else regarding the wind turbines? By all means, do get in touch. Surely it'll depend on the will of the people. He'll be voting for the MHK, not the MHK's personal opinion, says Ali. And an interesting point as to how far we are down the line with Orsted. And if whatever happens, whether they are given the go-ahead or not given the go-ahead, what's going to happen? Also, bear in mind, this is years away. I mean, it won't happen for years anyway. Well done, the steam packet, for advertising the Isle of Man on television between Coronation Street over the bank holidays. Must have cost a packet, a steam packet, says John in Saddleston.
We are ready to go at B&B Furniture, with a wide range of manager specials throughout the store. If it says I'm ready to go, then it is ready to go. Priced in-store for immediate delivery and no long wait for stock to arrive onto the island. Get the furniture you're longing for, with no wait, no deposit required and 0% finance available when you get ready to go at B&B Furniture. It's all here under one roof at the B&B Furniture three-story showroom in Snugborough. B&B Furniture. This old house needed new windows. This old house needed a new door. And with DPM Conservatories, we got all that and more. Now our bills are lower and the house is warmer too. We're cleaner and we're greener since we swapped our old for new. Stunning A-plus rated replacement windows and doors, expertly fitted by DPM Conservatories. Phone 612-333 or find them on Facebook and swap your old for new.
Road racing returns to the island and Manx Radio Motorsport is an essential part of it. As the official TT Broadcast Media partner, our live coverage brings every qualifying and race session to the island and the world on air and online. So with airtime, sponsorship and digital advertising options, it's officially your best chance to reach a global motorsports audience. Contact our sales team now on 682-620 or at sales@manxradio.com. Manx Radio Motorsport, the best biking station in the world.
Hello, I'm BethEsby.com, Manx Radio's head of biker podcasts. In this general election year, Manx Radio will have an almost interminable number of programmes in the run-up to the big day when you can choose who to bin off. And for the first time, we're also hosting a live show aimed at helping all those tens of young and first-time voters, or those who've just forgotten, through the complex issue of voting. That is, confirming your name and address, stepping into a cubicle, and putting an X next to the name of someone you think isn't going to be completely useless. So join us at IM1 Voting for Dummies, live at the Peel Centenary Centre from 7:30pm on the 16th of May. Tickets available online at centenarycentre.com, from Celtic Gold in Peel or OMA in Ramsey. Voting for Dummies, laughing in the face of democracy.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Here's a note in from, is it 305? Anyway, it just said, why don't we discuss the energy supply problems and repercussions if Orsted doesn't go ahead? Well, give us a call. Tell us all about it. Tell us what you think. Carlton's on now. Hi, Carlton.
Hi, Andy. I'd just like to correct a couple of things about the Orsted project and the wind farm.
Yeah.
You mentioned earlier on, or I picked up that you mentioned earlier on, that this will help the Isle of Man's carbon emissions. It won't. The energy is supposed to be going to the UK. it will help their carbon emissions, not ours. We cannot offset the energy production there against our carbon emissions. This project was started around about 2014. It was kicked off and the civil service have been running it in the background. What I fail to see is why our government has not put forward any discussion papers, especially with them contacting Ørsted directly, is my understanding, and basically involving them. The idea was to provide a wind farm that may provide funding to the Isle of Man to take care of government spending. This seems to have been lost in translation. One of the other things, since this has been going on for 10 years, is why the particular inquiry has been set up in the way that it has been, in that our politicians now cannot talk about it in an election year. Surely Tim Walz should actually have put this on hold, since it's the next administration, and we should be able to hear from our civil servants and our government in relation to this particular project and its benefits.
Do you think it's a good idea or a bad idea?
I'm very concerned. I'm very concerned that, effectively, with a landlord, and we're renting out the seabed, and if something goes wrong with Ørsted, we're going to end up in a situation where, as any landlord would be, we end up having to put it right. The island is not big enough to support this sort of infrastructure. You've got Ed Miliband, who says it's important for the UK. That may well be the case. But we need to be honest, and people need to start being honest about what the purpose of this was for. I don't want to see, in 30, 40 years' time, the Isle of Man being responsible for trying to decommission without UK guarantees, without anything of that nature. But then you've got the visual aspect. You've got the nature. It's going to be visible from almost the point of air down, certainly to Santon. These wind turbines are going to be at least three times taller than the ones we can actually see, and yet they're between 6 and 12 miles. But then I'm quite sure that Ørsted will have a plan B. If Ed Miliband believes that this is good for his economy, effectively, we could end up in a situation where they're planted at 13 miles outside of our territorial waters. You know, there's a lot at play here, and I'm afraid I don't believe that people are being honest with us. I believe our government should not have accepted the proposal and kicked it down the road to the next administration. Our politicians need to start talking about this.
What about the onshore wind farm then at Eyre Stain?
Well, the onshore wind farm at Eyre Stain, is something that's being put forward by Manx Utilities.
Yeah.
And the island as a whole will need to cut its carbon emissions. But what we need to understand as well is that the island, according to the 2024 government report and an article in The Guardian, the island's energy supply generates 30,000 tons more carbon emissions than a single data centre in the UK.
Yeah.
Let's get perspective. You know, there are many things that go into carbon emissions, and my big fear is because our government has neglected to talk to us over a 10-year period, we're in a situation now where people have suddenly woken up and realised that this is happening, partially because of the February presentation to government that was voted upon, and there is no real... there's not been any communication with the general public about it. And that, to me, is against the Isle of Man Constitution. It's against all normality of what would happen.
Okay.
I did comment on the Ørsted proposal, and my views are written down. and you can search it against my name.
Okay.
The truth of the matter here is the island needs to do something, but not this. It's too big for us to handle. We will end up in the same situation as we were with the original power station, where the overspend came through because it was just nodded through. You've got the Liverpool port facility. There's no other government in the world that has a port facility or a building, an airport or other in another country. That was supposed to be 20 million. They're now saying it's going to be 100. You know, there's something seriously, seriously wrong with what is actually going on.
Okay. All right. Carlton, we appreciate your points and thanks for calling today. I'm glad you called today. I want to go to Bonzo now. Hi, Bonzo.
Hello. Yes, just a hearing on that. Yes, made some good points there. However, again, there is a lot of confusion about the whole thing of renewables on the island. People get confused between the offshore and the onshore, and whether power is coming from the offshore, and who does what, and how that will be progressed as a project, etc. You know, it's as clear as mud. So I will try very quickly to actually clarify things as best I can. The offshore wind farm is about making money for the Isle of Man. It is not about providing power to the Isle of Man. Now, it could provide some power, but in order to do that, we, that is Manx Utilities, would have to pay for the facilities to receive that power at Groudel or wherever, Port Skillion, and then, you know, for that to be, you know, processed into a way that our grid can handle. And, well, that's not cheap. The offshore wind farm is thought, it's in UK policy as critical national infrastructure. So, you know, Ed Miliband has said, yeah, this is what has to be. We need that wind farm. We need the power. Great. Well, if UK needs the power and it's critical national infrastructure, but it's in our waters, and they're paying to lease the seabed of our waters, well, then they'd better pay a reasonable price. And what I heard on perspective from both the island-based project manager and from the vice president of external relations and the UK, whatever, was nothing short of colonial traders coming along saying, look, we'll give you some shiny beads for it, and pretending that somehow £2 billion over 35 years, not adjusted for inflation, remember. So over that time, the value of that, well, depending on reasonable rates of inflation, the value of, you know, the first £50 million payment in real terms would be £25 million by the end of it. No wonder they like the idea of that, because the amount they pay in real terms tapers over time. And when you compare that to the kind of agreement for lease, etc., payments that Crown Estates have received from wind farms, indeed received from Ørsted for the wind farms that they put on. It's the Crown Estate in the North Sea. They received far more than that. You know, talking about £100 million plus a year. In some cases, although they did actually hand the lease back because of the auction process that they used. It was a few years ago at the top of the market, so when they bid for the other Irish Sea wind farms that are proposed, I think it's the Mona one, you know, the one off Anglesey. That they paid in agreement for lease terms £200 million a year for the first 10 years. But then they looked at various things about also the time it would take for them to get a connection into the UK national grid so that it would be able to sell the electricity, and the timescales and the numbers didn't add up. So they handed back the lease, but not before they gave Crown Estate £600 million. Now, £600 million on Ørsted's terms, well, that's about a third of the time. So that would be, I don't know, 10 years, 8 years, something like that, worth of money.
I got a message in from Clive Bonzo, who just said, my opinion is that Ørsted are treating the Isle of Man like a parish council in England. They seem to think that we don't know what we're talking about and clearly don't understand the constitutional relationship. Either that, or the civil servants who are negotiating are dazzled by somebody from across.
All of those, absolutely right, Clive. Absolutely right. The idea that we're being, you know, essentially talked down to by various juniors. I think one of the things that the Treasury came in, essentially, have to do is haul them in, read them the Riot Act, and copy that to London, and say, first off, we're not dealing with these people who patronise us like this. No way. They can go. We will deal with the main board of Ørsted and you know, the chairman of Ørsted and the managing director of Ørsted, the group, can come here from Denmark and can negotiate with us as a nation state, not as some parish council. You know, and that had better be sorted, and you in London had better put some pressure on it if you want to have this wind farm, which is supposed to be part of critical national infrastructure. And also, of course, the amount, just the baseline amount of money. It's just ridiculous. There's also the payments that haven't really been made for the lease as it is. So as I think I've said before, but I think I'm putting up the amount now, it will be a question of telling Ørsted, right, okay, you want to talk to us about a wind farm, write us a cheque for £100 million. Then you can talk to us about things, but then you better start talking about a realistic figure. Otherwise, you can sling your hook.
Okay, all right. Bonzo, we appreciate your candour as always. Thanks for calling today.
Okay. Cheers. Bye.
12 minutes to one.
The Granite Centre in Laxey. For complete kitchen renovations, replacement worktops, and with over 35 distinct styles and finishes, there's a Kuka instant boiling water tap for every home. Call 612287 or visit thelaxeykitchenco.im today.
Remember when you used to get business advice from your bank manager? Stiff upper-lipped pillars of the community whom you called sir? Nowadays, you can get all the advice on every business issue from the friendly, down-to-earth chaps at Crow Isle of Man. And some of the chaps are even women. Imagine! Crow Isle of Man. Global presence, local knowledge.
Crow Isle of Man. Crow.im.
Construction waste today.
Tells recycle for another day.
A builder skip or two.
Tells skips will bring to you.
Need quality type 1 stone for your building or contracting job? Then contact Tells with no minimum order for collection or delivery. Call 677-137. Visit Tells Limited in Snugborough or find Tells Limited on Facebook.
Skips are what they do.
We're the guys that hire one to you.
Call Tells Skips today.
677-137.
There's monkeys and meerkats, penguins galore. You can meet with a panda, owls, lemurs and more.
The Currax Wildlife Park is open 7 days a week. So book your tickets and experiences online now at currackswildlifepark.im.
From live interviews to island highlights, Manx Radio on YouTube.
Coming soon to Manx Radio.
Yeah, one at Arsenal and one against Jim's. So that was also sent off for exchanging punches with Tabs Tier against Castletown.
That's Rick Holden, Football, the Isle of Man and me.
at 6:30 on Thursday evening, with a longer in-depth programme available to download shortly after broadcast on manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
10 to 1, 2020 drama Southwesterlies might be of interest to some. It looks at a Norwegian company proposing a wind farm off the Irish coast and the reaction of the local community. Well, well, well. How can the Isle of Man rent out the seabed? It belongs to the Crown Estate. Well, we can. It's ours. More on that. If a canvassing politician turns up at my door, says poorly, and refuses to answer whether they're for or against the wind farm, they'll be asked to leave and will not be getting my vote. Quite simple. Well, I'm sure all the candidates will talk about it. Of course, it begs the question, will they change their mind if they get in? I hope plenty of people have signed the petition against this wind farm. Which wind farm, 068? Is it? We're talking about the offshore wind farm or the onshore wind farm? I don't want it under any circumstances, and I do not believe it's environmentally friendly. Well, as Bonzo pointed out, the offshore one is about cash. It's about money. It's about the trade-off is the visual aspect. And let's face it, it's going to be huge. There's no getting away from it. 6 miles offshore is not much, and these things are towering, absolutely towering. So the visual aspect will be very compromised on the east coast of the Isle of Man. The Irishstain one is about lowering our carbon footprint, going towards net zero. So that's getting renewable electricity from Irishstain. So we get that straight then. Offshore is about money, and onshore is about net zero. I think we've found Brian now. Hi, Brian.
It's Byron, Andy. Can you hear me?
Oh, thank you, Byron. Oh, sorry. We got the letters the wrong way around. Thank you, Byron. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, no problem. The net zero thing, basically, and there's figures to prove it, is actually virtual signalling with regard to both the UK and the Isle of Man. The UK contributes 0.8% to the global problem, which means that the Isle of Man contributes 0.11% to the global problem. It's interesting to note in recent press reports that Mr. Ed Miliband, the great protagonist of Net Zero, has decided not to have solar panels on the roof of his house. So, and that's been quoted on national news just lately.
I mean, I think, Brian, we all know that we contribute so little to the carbon footprint of the entire world that
sure.
The implication is that if we set a good example, other people will follow.
Yes, and of course the thing is, when we've set that good example, and it's cost this very small island with only about 85,000 people, when it's cost us millions, then in actual fact the market will decide the price of energy, and we will have no control over that. And if we have no control over that, the incremental benefit that we may get is limited to non-existent, Andy. So anyway, and by the way, our territorial waters actually extend to 13.8 miles from our shores, which means, of course, as you rightly say, these monstrosities are very close. Anyway, that's my point. Thanks very much.
All right. Good to hear from you, Byron. Thanks for that. And if you've got any thoughts on this, by all means, do get in touch. In response to the claim that countries are backtracking on wind power, I don't have personal data, but information suggests, this is text to 140, information suggests that China, Germany, India, Brazil and Turkey are increasing their use of wind energy. There was also a BBC article in January stating that the UK is set to support a large number of new offshore wind projects. Are they all wrong? I'm not commenting on the proposed wind farm in Laxey Bay. None of us has the details yet. Well, we have enough detail to know that these things are huge. I mean, over 300 metres high to the tip of the blade. They are huge. And if it's going to be 6 miles offshore, it will be a compromise. There's no getting away from that. It'll be a compromise. Now, whether the compromise is worth it, well, that's another matter. And that, of course, will come down to the price of electricity. And I'll come back to the number I always quote, 29p. We pay 29p per kilowatt hour or thereabouts for electricity. What's it going to be afterwards? What's it going to be? This is a gamble. It may be a gamble that pays off absolutely handsomely, but it may not be. And at the moment, we have the politicians and the people negotiating on behalf of the Isle of Man. And by the way, on Monday, next Monday the 11th, the Chief Minister's going to be on Man in Line. Alfred Cannon, MHK, will be on Man in Line. You can talk to Mr. Cannon about that or anything else. It's going to be an open line with the Chief Minister next Monday the 11th. And on Thursday, next Thursday, the 14th, a week this Thursday, Nick the Pharmacist will be on. So we'll be talking about both ends of the spectrum. Personal health, although we won't talk about any personal ailments and we won't be giving advice, but Nick the Pharmacist and the Chief Minister are on next week. And note, the Manx Wildlife Trust, by the way, says it expects the government to carry out full ecological surveys and impact assessments as part of a planning process for the new onshore wind farm. It was confirmed that Eristain and Skard are the preferred location. Now, Manx Wildlife Trust says it's supportive of the journey to net zero and already asked questions regarding proposed timelines. Manx Wildlife Trust says that climate change is the biggest single threat to biodiversity globally, and the Manx Wildlife Trust is, quote, delighted that the Manx government is driving it forward in multiple ways. The Manx Wildlife Trust says the Isle of Man environment and biodiversity are extremely important and must be considered in all island developments. So the MWT is trusting and expecting the government to carry out full ecological surveys and impact assessments as part of a full planning process before anything is agreed for any potential site. Well, the election is this September. The politicians, the candidates, already the sitting MHK. We'll be listening to what you have to say. If you want to follow up on anything, by all means do get in touch. The answer phone's on 682 631, or you can email maninline@manxradio.com. Thanks for your messages today. Thanks for your calls. Back tomorrow with another open line. In the meantime, enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. It feels like a Monday, but it's a Tuesday. And thanks to Chris on the phones today.